Welcome to the Lost Levels Podcast. This is podcast 203. Whoa. Did I get that number right?
Yes, you did.
Okay, thank you. Because I had to make sure, because when I was typing it up online, is it or is it not? But yes, as you hear, this is Dark Brew hosting, and I'm here with Super Zamazy.
Hello.
And Soul.
I'm present.
Here, we're going to talk about Undertale, the game that everybody is raving over on Steam. Yes. And the game that was created solely on Game Maker Studio. Ain't that something? Oh my goodness. That's why I say go out there and make your game. You don't know how far it'll go.
Yeah. I mean, Undertale was... Actually, it was in production for a while, but I'm glad that it did get such attention, and positive attention as well.
Game Maker Studio.
You want to emphasize that.
Still hit me, Game Maker Studio. That game is something. And since we might as well just dive into the questions and such. This game, you know, I didn't buy the game. Of course, I had played on my friend account. I wasn't buying no game. Please, I'm sorry. I don't do no buying games.
Okay.
No shit,
thank you for sharing.
I do not. But where did I hear about this game? Who was I watching? It was Markiplier. But he cut it short. He did not finish it. He just cut it short. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to search it. I'm just going to play it myself. And that's what I did. What about y'all?
As for me, So this game came out in September of 2015. Right now it's February of 2016, so it's been a couple of months. But I didn't hear about Undertale until sometime in December. I looked it up right now. I'm subscribed to this YouTube account. His name is Zero Janitor, and he makes music remixes of Nintendo games. And he had this remix of Bone Trossel in Banjo-Kazooie style, so using the sound files from Banjo-Kazooie.
I saw that video, actually. Sorry.
I was like, oh, cool. I love to hear, Banjo-Kazooie-themed songs, and I just assume Undertale was some, NES game that I'd never played, basically. So that's when I first heard about it, but it wasn't until later when I'm like, why is this getting so popular? I'm seeing it everywhere. I see it on Twitter. I see it on YouTube suggestions. I see it even on our forums and things like this. So I actually looked into it, and it was a good game. And it wasn't until I heard that Boo was playing it that I was like, oh, okay, I might have to look into this.
Boo playing a video game? Question mark, question mark.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy.
As for me, I heard about the game because I have Tumblr, and Tumblr is... I honestly hate Tumblr. I hate it so much, but at the same time, I enjoy it. And I'm like, wow, I literally have no idea. First of all, to say this, I would suggest not listening to this podcast if you haven't played it and have never really seen much about Undertale, because I think that game is much better if... Literally, and I rarely say this, that if you know nothing about it, it's very good. I'll get into why I don't think it deserves Game of the Year, but it is a very good game, and it's much better if you don't know anything about it. But I knew about it because I'm like, wow, what's all this tiny skeleton in a hoodie and this giant fish woman? Mm-hmm. And the thing that kind of put me over the edge was, not in a bad way, but the first thing that was like, maybe I should play this game was, I have a friend who's an artist, and she's a very good artist, and she drew Undyne, and I'm like, what the heck is this? Okay, I don't know, if my friend's talking about this, I think I should play this. But I have a brother, and he was coming in for Christmas, I think it was my sister's wedding at the time, and he was like, you should really play this game, and so I did, and yeah, the rest is history.
It's really crazy how... If you took this game and released it 10 years ago, I would say not even... the popularity that it has gained, a lot of it has to do with he had... Because this was made by one person, Toby Fox. Everything, basically.
Well, mainly.
He had some help here and there, I'm sure. But, this is his creation. And if he had... what I was saying is that he, I'm sure he had like his supporters when it was still in development. I mean, he had a Kickstarter, I believe, right? That so there were people that were following that, but it did not have the following it does. It does not have the following it has today. So it's crazy to think that because of social media, because of the way we consume like game media now, I guess, like especially with YouTube and things like this, it's crazy how big this has sprung, because that would not have happened 10 years ago. 10 years ago, it would have been released and maybe gotten some attention, but not to this extent, I don't think.
And you know I like retro games, so anything that looks retro is fine with me. Shovel Knight, yes. And Mattel, yes. Because I don't deal with the new games, because the new games, I feel like they always lack something. This one, the story was good. And like as he said, I advise you play the game, because, and you need to play it more than once. After you beat it once, you need to play it like two more times in order to get the full story.
Yeah, if you're interested in it. Especially, again, if you have not looked into this game at all. Ezzy, you really didn't know much about the game, did you, when you played it?
When I played it, I knew one thing, basically, and that was that you can beat the game without killing anyone. And that's,
like, yeah, that's what everyone said.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I knew, besides like what the characters looked like. That's all I knew.
The most intriguing thing, that's really what made me want to play as well, is like, that's a really interesting concept. It's not a crazy one, and I'm sure it's been done before. I mean, I can't, I'm not positive, but I'm sure it's been, there have been things that have played with that idea, but just a simple idea like that got me interested enough to actually purchase it and play it.
Yeah, do not kill anyone is one way. Kill everyone is another way. And then there's those cases where you act, where it seems like when you try not to kill, nothing happening, so you end up killing. And that's where it's the big no-no. Because that's what everyone said in the comments. They said, don't kill no one, don't kill no one. I'm like, okay, we won't kill no one. So next one, since we talk about impressions and everything, how did we beat the game? We probably said how we all beat the game. Me, I didn't kill anyone. So I got the true ending.
I didn't kill anyone either, and I did the true ending. I did it on New Year's Eve.
Oh my gosh, that's what I wanted to do, but I messed up. I messed up.
Story of your life.
I ended up killing two people.
Don't be funny!
Well, the first one, I completely understand, because I ran into the same exact problem, and my brother literally forced me to restart because he's like, no. Like,
oh, I wish I knew. I wish I would have restarted too if I just like realized that there were consequences, like big consequences.
Those are big consequences with one of the kills. I don't. What was the other one? You just killed a random enemy, right?
Well, there's this Vegetoid thing.
That thing, yeah.
I avoided the fight command, but I went to like the action command or whatever it's called, and I devoured the thing.
Ezzy's
oh
a glutton.
Oh gosh. So yeah, I healed up at least.
The other one, let's not discuss, just because. I kind of want people to feel like get stuck. You'll if you're playing the game, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. I feel like, but
did Sounds try to kill you, Ezzy?
No.
Oh, he didn't.
Mm-mm.
No, because he only killed two people. Even then, like he's like, oh.
But that one person he killed.
So okay, yeah, I have a question, because
that one person he didn't know. He didn't know who that person was.
I have a question. When you reach Sans at the... By the way, this is like a total spoiler episode.
So yes, it is.
We're going to just get into everything. When you get to Sans at the like the castle or the final area, final time you see Sans, what kind of conversation does he have with you guys? Because you guys did the true ending, or the pacifist ending, I guess.
Basically, he's like, LOL, you tried your best not to kill anybody, so that means you have a good heart. Go, but good luck with Asgore.
Does he say anything about EXP? And
oh, yeah, yeah. He tells you, like, what love is, level of violence. I forgot what EXP was, but love made me laugh.
EXP was something about, something was bad and the other one was good. I think the love one was good and the EXP was the bad.
Both of them were bad. Because love was level of violence. and experience was whatever.
Yeah. So when I was reading what he was telling me, I was reading it in a more sinister way. Like, it was very, it felt negative to me. I don't know if it's the same dialogue. Imagine, I just read it differently.
Imagine him as the person who judges you. Like, that's what he was. He's literally just a judge.
Oh, and that means, because I did something horrible, that's why I had.
Well, he let you through, because he was like, I mean, okay.
Yeah, he did let me through, so.
He didn't let you through?
No, he did.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
You were spared.
So, yeah, I ended up doing the neutral ending, or the neutral path, just because of those two. I spared every single other person. But, unfortunately, one mistake at the beginning. Can I say who I killed?
Yeah, just say it now, yeah.
I killed Toriel.
I did, too, so it's fine.
I went in knowing that you can play the game without killing anyone, but in my mind, somehow I convinced myself that, yeah, that's true, but, like, this is one of those parts where you have to do it, like, this is required, and then you can not kill. I don't know how I came to that conclusion, but she wasn't budging when you would do nothing.
Yeah, she basically, it took a long time for the actual text to change.
Yeah, I didn't immediately, like, okay, it's Toriel, just keep slashing at her. I, like, tried and tried, and it wasn't doing anything. So, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, it's not your fault. It's actually, it was made, it was designed to do that. It's supposed to incorporate patience.
And here's the other thing, that I thought Toriel was bad. I thought she was an evil character or sinister, like, she had some secret that she had, and she was actually a bad character.
She is a nice goat lady.
That's why I thought she was evil, because, oh, look at this facade. She's this nice goat lady. Oh, please.
Or probably after seeing Flowey in the beginning.
And it was after Flowey, because when that's the first thing you see in the game. You get there, the first character you talk to, and he says, kill or be killed. So I'm like, oh, shoot, this place is going to... There's going to be tons of people who are going to try to trick me. It's like the witch in the forest with, like, the candy house. That's what I imagined this game was going to be. And it turned out like that was not the case for basically everyone except for Flowey. And it wasn't even Flowey. Flowey was evil from the start. So.
Womp womp.
Yeah. So I'm going to say that I really like that part. That they tricked what I thought the game was going to be about.
They're like, boom, this is what happened.
I mean, yeah. I mean, my first impressions of the game were pretty much like that. I would agree. Just to bring back in the first impressions, that's pretty much what I thought. But I didn't think of it as, or with, in the case of it, the reason why I was like, oh, I guess I gotta kill her, was like, she really did not want you to leave. So I'm like, oh, geez, was she basically, like, kidnapping me? So I thought, I was like, oh, I guess I gotta go. I mean, I kept trying, and she wasn't doing anything, so I'm like, oh, I guess maybe it's like, this game is teaching me a lesson. Like, you know what, even if you want to not kill anybody, you're gonna have to have some blood on your hands.
See, exactly. Thank you for helping me justify what I did.
Thank you, yeah. That was totally the reasoning you had, like, 100%.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
We all fail. Well, I did fail that one, but... Okay. So, the controls. Basically, let me tie this up with the fighting mechanics and such. How do you think about the fighting mechanics? And for me... I like when they teach you, like, how to dodge things and such, and then they change it around. Whereas you're unable to, like, basically gravity is set in. It's just an easy code for on Game Maker, by the way, to do gravity. But it's like where it's gravity, and then you actually gotta get hit for no damage, and if you move, you take damage and such. I love that.
Are you talking about, like, the boss battles? How they have... Yeah.
Yeah, some of the boss battles and such.
All the boss battles have, like, basically, it's hard to explain. To be honest, it's really hard to explain the battle mechanics, because damage is really easy. It's just a timing thing, and if you, you know, hit it right in the center, you do more damage, stuff like that. But the dodging thing is much more unique. But basically, it's for all standard enemies, it's the same dodging, it's just they have different attacks. But all the bosses have you turn a different color, and it works differently. For instance, imagine the attacks as a platformer when you're facing one of the characters, or as another, as almost a rhythm thing where you have to move in a certain direction at a specific timing. Like, it gets really weird. There's a my favorite one is the one where it's a shooter, but that one doesn't really last that long.
Is that Metatons?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, I think it's before I say what I think about the controls. I really, really love that this game takes the RPG and kind of flips it on its head a bit. It takes the things that you would think would happen in an RPG, and they use that knowledge to try to twist and trick you. And I really like that because, surprise, the battles themselves are actually very much tied into the story and the things outside of the battle. So it's not just random encounter. You're in this completely different world doing a battle, and then you return to the actual world. And
oh no!
They're both tied in very well, including just the things that you do in the battle. I mean, the heart you're protecting, that's your soul. And like, you see that in the final boss battle, at the end of the game, like, you're protecting your soul in that very instance. And you get to see the other, like, I guess, enemy souls. Hold on, back up. Do the monsters have souls?
They sort of have souls. But they're much more different than human souls. They're much more fragile, I believe. They're white, right, and they're upside down hearts.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you get to see stuff like that, and like, they talk to you during the battle and things like this. And actual story things happen in battle as well. That's a point. And controls are very... I'm very used to keyboard and mouse, so using that felt very just at home for me.
It works, keyboard and mouse. I did that as well. I didn't...
Controller, and then I figured out the keyboard is more better. The game was not designed for the controller. And we already talked about... Did we talk about the gameplay? Yeah.
I mean, I guess I want to quickly say, like, some of the... I think some people had some issues with the puzzles. I didn't mind them. None of them were too hard or didn't make me think for that long.
I feel like the game was kind of weak on puzzles. Like,
yes.
I wasn't really challenged.
Same. I don't see a puzzle.
Actually, I looked one thing up because mainly due to laziness, the piano puzzle. Like, I understood what I was supposed to do, but I was like...
I never even got around to that. I couldn't figure it out.
What does that lead to?
I don't remember.
Can you go over again? I kind of forgot it.
Basically, there's a piano, and you're supposed to type in... Yeah, you're supposed to type in a specific melody.
Oh, that one! It leads you to some secret.
What is the secret?
I think you pick up, like, some ancient artifact or something.
Yes!
I never made any use for it. Like, do we know what that does?
You have to go to some part of the level and actually listen to the music, and then, like, literally replay it back.
Yeah, and like, I'm not good at that kind of stuff, so I was just like, oh, whatever, I'm just gonna look it up. Like, I get it, I get the puzzle, I'm just not gonna memorize it.
It was a puzzle that requires the most.
Yeah, I think that would be the hardest one.
I'm searching up on the wiki because I don't understand what you guys are talking about. I know what the puzzle is. It's one of the songs that plays, you go into the artifact room. I don't know what this artifact room is, but yeah, I mean, that's basically... All you have to do is have to press it, but it doesn't look like the artifact. Oh, it's a red ball, which is a joke because there's this annoying dog that pops through. Yeah, it's just a joke.
So it's nothing.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's like with Sans. Okay. It's like with Sans. You reset the game and nothing. Then when you get the key and go to the room, it's like. Really? That's what it is!
There's nothing of importance.
The dubiousness. Mm-mm-mm. Now, this game, I don't know. This is for the Earthbound people. And yes, we're going to have a podcast about Earthbound. Yes, indeed. This is based around the Earthbound games. And it's basically said, do you see the comparison? Oh, I guess, who want to go first? Or should I go first?
I'll go first. It's the only comparison I really have to it is that, they have similar overworld and battle formats, but even then, the battles play differently.
Yeah, I was just going to say, they look similar.
Kind of.
in like battle looks, the battles look similar.
Yes,
like but just the battles, look of them.
Yes, don't if play you're like the same. If you were a screenshot, they look very mm-hmm. similar.
Yeah,
but they but play otherwise. Completely differently.
Oh, here's the other thing. Earthbound is extremely hard, and this one's not as hard.
There you go. Let's say the first one's probably hard. I don't feel like Mother 3 is hard, but the first Earthbound I haven't played, and many people said when you play it, it's kind of taking interest away because it's hard. Because I know Mother 3 is not that hard. It's just that the bosses... Oh, my God. Let's say this game, the bosses are very... Well, Genocide Run is the same way like Mother 3.
Well, Muffet, I had so much struggle on Muffet. She was the hardest boss. Like, even over Asgore, I had more trouble than it with him. Or with her. I don't know why. I just never could get the timing right. I even bought something at the Spider Bake Sale, which is...
You gotta spend a lot. Like, the 9999 one.
Yeah.
Actually, I think I...
Well, if you do that, she doesn't even do anything. Yeah. She's like, yo, go ahead. But that battle's very hard.
I think that was my hardest. Like, what are some of her attacks? I'm trying to remember.
The spider. She was the spider.
Well, she was the spider, but I'm trying to remember what her battle was like.
She was purple, and you were kind of on these three strands, and you bounce between them. And then at one point, she'd call on her pet, which was this giant monster thingy, and you'd have to run away. Your soul would have to run away.
What is it, a pet muffin or something?
I don't know. Well, it was a pet mutant muffin.
What's the battle where you just have to keep playing? If you're not killing the person, you have to keep playing until someone, like, calls or stops the battle.
That's this one.
That's this one?
Okay, yeah, you have to keep...
This is the hard one, then, yeah.
Yeah, you have to keep battling it.
Until over?
One of the spiders from, what's it called? One of the spiders from the beginning, because if you buy something, they'll, be like, hey, LOL, you bought something from the spider bake sale. But otherwise, I feel like there's another way to get past it, but I don't remember.
Only thing I know, you gotta spend a lot of money to get by.
Yeah.
I fail two times.
Fun fact about...
How small... Oh, sorry.
No, continue. Ahead. Continue.
I was gonna say something stupid. How small this, like, spider cakes would be. They're tiny. You know how small cakes are? Or spiders are?
Only thing I know, I fail dead. Completely.
Fun fact about Muffet, she was designed by the same person who writes this webcomic I read, so I don't know how to say her name, but wait, I don't even remember her name. Her first name's Michelle. I don't remember her last name, but I know it's really hard to pronounce. Sorry. Continue.
Muffet doesn't have a big part in the actual story, though, right?
No, she's just kind Muffet, of there. Muffet's a weird thing, a weird situation, because she's an optional boss, and she's...
Optional?
Yeah, she's an optional boss. If you buy one of the things, she offers like these foods right before her boss battle. If you buy the one that's the most expensive, she doesn't even. Or if you buy anything, I think she doesn't even.
Yeah, I think it's the one. It's the most expensive one.
Yeah, she. But she's also weird because it's literally you battle her, you go, and then you can battle Metaton. There's no break between it, so it's a weird thing.
Yeah.
Since I've been playing Mother 3, let's just say, if you play in the pacifist run, it's not kind of like Earthbound. But the thing is, if you play Genocide Run, it is equivalent difficulty to Mother 3. Trust me. It is equivalent by all natures. It's even worse of it. Worse, even worse with people like Sans, whereas they get you out immediately by the first move alone, which makes no sense.
Yeah, Mother 3 is a hard game.
Mother 3. Let's just say the earlier bosses are even harder, and the later bosses are 10 times harder. Oh man, but. There's a lot of the characters, I can say that they are very similar. The characters. I feel like the Mr. Saturn in the game is like Timmy, the dog. Where Mr. Saturn just spit randomness and Timmy basically spit randomness as well.
Timmy is a character in Undertale, which you might not even run into. She's an enemy, but there's a... I'm not going to spoil that, because that you're going to have to... I think you guys should figure out yourself. The listeners, especially if people already played it, but there's a Temmie village, which is something. It has unique music.
Yeah, it has an item that if you buy it and sell it, you actually make a profit.
And you're pretty much pretty much, or there's another one where if you give her enough money, you get this armor that pretty much breaks the game.
Yes, they have, and I think they have a weapon like that too that breaks the game, that causes so much damage. Or some people, like, I mean, like, 999 damage or something. But that's in a genocide run. I don't believe you get a chance to pick it up in the pacifist run.
I don't think so. I think it was just heavy armor that you could get.
Mm-mm. Only thing, and my favorite, whose favorite character? Oh, Lord.
My favorite character, I like Undyne. She's probably my favorite character.
Sans will have to be my favorite. It's the fact that he's cool and such, but he really tried to spit confidence to you and such. And, like, he really tells you how the game can be played if you pay attention to what he say.
Yeah, I think that's also why I like Sans a lot. I think a lot of people like him because he's kind of like, his character design's, like, cool or cute or whatever, or they just like his personality. But
kawaii.
This is from what I've gathered from playing the game once and then reading and looking into all the different endings and the how deep this game gets and things like this. So Sans apparently he appears to in the game, he makes it seem like he doesn't know that much, but in reality, it looks like he's aware of a lot of things, like the different timelines and the possibility of resetting and saving and loading and things like this, based on the things he said. So it's interesting to see his dialogue in that respect, because you now realize that he knows all this and he's hinting at this, and he might actually be guiding you along in a way that you thought was completely different. So that's, I like that character for that reason. And actually, I don't like this character because of the things he does, but Flowey is a pretty interesting character, and I enjoyed seeing what happens to him in the different endings and how he reacts. Like in the genocide run, it was, first of all, the genocide run, when I'm watching some of the endings,
that was scary. Creepy. That was scary and creepy.
The very end, literally, I was like, oh, jeez. I was... Well, the other thing that scared me was, if you do, like, freak me out, was at the end of the true pacifist run, there's another element to this game, believe it or not. If those of you are listening and being losers and not playing this game, okay, there's another element to this game that, like, there's a whole bunch of history behind you. You're not just, this game is very much almost like trying to establish that in a way it's just like a real life, except not, of course. But, you know, there's this world didn't just exist because of you. It has a history, and the history is completely complicated, and there's a character named Chara, and then this Chara is like terrible, and then at the end, if you do the genocide run, Chara like basically kills you or something, and then if you do the normal, or you do the true pacifist run, like, I don't know, I don't get that part, but, like, you wake up as in a bed, and you're Chara. That part didn't make any sense to me.
Why?
That was good explaining.
I didn't see this.
Okay, that part makes no sense. I have no idea. Oh, you saw the timeline, right?
Yeah, I was just looking at the timeline for this
podcast. The last event says you finally get adopted by your goat mom.
Yes.
Okay. So, the end, you go to, you're in a room, like, you know, a bedroom, and then she says goodnight to you, and I think she leaves you, like, some butterscotch pie or whatever, you know, but then you, like, turn in your bed, and you, it sees front face, but your eyes are open, and there's a glint in your eye, and I think there's, like, a laugh or something, and then it ends.
And that's good ending?
Yes, true pacifist run. I don't get it, I don't know what it's supposed to mean, I still, like, I've tried to search up explanations, and no one really gives me anything, so.
Because isn't Chara also inside Frisk? Frisk being the main character, I think?
I think that's what it's implying.
So it's like Chara exists in you, but isn't actually active, maybe? That's what they're saying?
Yeah,
maybe.
And
Chara still exists, but
Chara wanted to get rid of both the monsters and the humans. So,
yeah, if you do the genocide run, you basically helped out Chara, and then she kills you at the end.
And then even in the other way around, if you do the true ending, whatever you want to call it, You also helped Chara because Chara wanted to get to the human world.
How does Chara end up in you? That's where I get lost.
I think there's some holes in this that people just don't want to address. Because there's so many things that don't make sense in this game to me.
Or it's just that complicated that we're just so shallow. Oh my goodness.
I hate things.
But yeah, but really quick with the flowy thing. Like, I really like to see, because when you're introduced to him, he's like, in the faces he makes, they're creepy and
they get worse,
scare you. Then they get worse, but it's crazy when you watch the genocide or play the genocide run, and he's basically crumbling because he's
that part scared. He's becoming terrified
of you, like this flower that you know in the neutral run turns into the disgusting, what do they call it, Photoshop folly.
That part was funny to me, actually. It made me scared for a second, but then I started laughing because I'm like, what is that?
That this creature that was able to do that was starting to crumble and basically begs you not to kill him. Like, that's something else. That's something I can't think of another game that's been able to make me, like, whoa, like, just almost, like, tremble in fear. Yeah, just like, wow.
You just had to take it. I didn't, thankfully I didn't play the genocide run, but like watching it, I was like, oh my.
I wouldn't be able to play it because it's ridiculous.
That's too hard. Like, you have to be like, you really have to put yourself in a horrible place to be able to do all these horrible things. Like, you, that's the hard, that's really the hard mode. Like, not because it's difficult, but because those are choices that are just not easy to make at all.
Especially when you kill Papyrus. And then when you kill Sans as well.
So what happens when you kill both of them in the genocide run?
No, you kill Papyrus first.
Yeah, of course, you kill Papyrus.
And then you kill Undyne.
Undyne was... That part was...
But it's funny because Undyne gets the determination and still not able to win.
Yeah.
How does she get determination?
Because she gets determined to kill. She literally gets so determined to
save everyone.
She gains determination.
It comes, the roles reverse.
Yeah, instead of you so saving. Sad. Yeah.
And then when Sans get killed and he had the blood dripping out his mouth.
What's this thing where people, there's like a, I think in Sans battle, they say like the theme song that plays is actually your theme song?
No, that's not true. That's not true.
That's not true.
The theme song played when you battle Sans, but is actually a theme that, what's this dude's name? Toby Fox? He used, he originally, like, way back in the day, he made an Earthbound ROM hack, and this was the final boss theme he created. He later used it for a web comic called Homestuck, and then the third time used is the final boss battle with Sans. It's not... I don't know where that's coming from.
Okay, so... Oh, the doc style. The document, everything you do.
Yeah.
I don't... How do I...
What do you mean by that question?
Like, it keeps track of everything you do, whether you spare, kill, and the actions you actually make when you respond to some characters. It's kind of like,
Everything you do pretty much matters.
Yeah.
If it affects a different, another character or another person, even sometimes not, it, will have some effect later on.
So basically, it just stored everything in memory what you did, like when you kill, when you didn't kill, if you lie, and if you didn't lie.
Oh my gosh, what was that? Wait, okay, you're right on that. Well, there was a part where if you lie, it doesn't work out for you. What was that part?
I don't remember the part, because there's so many parts where you can actually lie.
Oh, was it? Ah, oh, jeez, it literally just came out to me. But there's a part where you can lie, and it backfires, and it's one of the last things you do, and I don't remember what it was. And I was like, but whatever it does, I think it still leads you to the same thing. But now I don't remember what it was. Sorry.
It wasn't the one with Alphys and Undyne, right?
No. Oh, the one with the anime?
Yeah.
No, not that one. That one is the same thing, no matter what you do, pretty much.
Yeah, but that's one thing this game likes to do, is basically store everything you do. And this is what... No, it's not different. It's just that it's a good little thing in the game. And then when we talk about mess up, we all talk about odd hiccups in the game and such. Like Ezzy killing off the beginning person.
I did it too. It's fine. I'm okay with it because I totally understand his or some reasoning. Because we had different reasons.
I always thought you'd be weak with the later on bosses at level 1. I was like, how am I going to be a boss at level 1? That was always got me. I'm like, there's no way I'm going to win at level 1. He's just going to hit me once and I'm going to die. But that's not the case, thank you very much. Except Genocide Run.
Oh, yeah, with Sans. Yeah, totally.
Genocide Run. It doesn't even, like... It's like, when you get hit, it blinks. It's not even like that in Genocide Run. If you get hit and you stay in that radius of hit, it calm. It just stacks on stacks. It just drops down. I'm like, okay.
Ezzy, have you seen the Sans battle?
Yeah, at the start where it has like those weird skull things that go zoom,
zoom, zoom. No. The start is when he doesn't he. Oh yeah, you're right.
One of them it's the sine wave and then it's zoom 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 sine wave zoom zoom zoom.
How do you even avoid the zoom zoom zoom? Like there,
it flashes really really quickly for you to dodge. Oh my.
There's a very small window. I don't know how people do it. It makes me like a little bit panic just watching. It's
some stressful stuff. Trust me, Genocide Run, you would think leveling up would be good. In this game, it makes the game 10 times harder every time you level up. And that's 20 level ups. That means it makes the game 200 times. Actually, not even 200 times. It goes exponentially if it's doubling every time. It's exponential. It's 2 to the 20th, actually.
2 to the millionth.
This game... It gets very hard. Trust me. Very hard. And we talk about the...
But I would still suggest it.
Yes. We talk about the fighting mechanics, which basically... fighting mechanics, because even in the Pacific Run, you get to shoot. Metaton, you shoot the heart and such. But one fight that I like is actually the Photoshop Flower. It's so peculiar, especially with that part when... It has the shoes going up and down. And shows. I'm like, this is so it's so trippy. It's like an LSD movement.
It was honestly like the way they did that was very well. Of the boss battles I played, I could not say it was the least unique. Like, this is the most unique boss battle ever. Because first of all, it's a... I don't remember what it's called. There's a certain bullet something. I don't know. But it's a special type of boss battle in general. But it's stressful. It does not care what you think as long as you try to survive.
And here's the thing. I like what the game does to the actual game window. That it makes you unable to quit. And sometimes it crashes the window. Which it gets me so damn mad.
If you press quit, like escape?
No, the game actually prevents you from quitting. And when you play Omega Flower, it goes in loops. Not Omega Flower. I think it's the Genocide Run or something where it actually goes in loop and you can't quit. And then there's another one where it crashes your game and you really gotta reopen the game.
It'll be like, alright, game, every time you... die, it gives you a game over and your game literally stops. Like, you have to re... I
love that.
Yes.
It is
the first time it crashed, I was like...
I thought it was like, oh, geez, the game overloaded, and then my brother and my little brother were both watching me, because, again, this is New Year's Eve, and they're like, no, do it again. I was like, what do you mean, do it again? It crashed. I don't want to do it all over again. And they're like, no, do it again. Yeah.
But when does it first crash? Because it doesn't crash in the battle, I don't think.
Yes, it is. The first time you die is when it crashes.
Okay. No, are you sure? Because I remember when I got... the first time the game crashes, or crashes, shuts off, I just sit there like... I understood what happened.
I just recalled the one part. And then I got back in, and
it just started over again.
I just recalled the one part where Fly's like, you think I'm done killing you?
Yeah.
No. I'm like, bitch!
I was like, oh, dang. Okay.
That got me so mad. I was like, no, he did. He did not just reload in the game. I was like, oh, no. This is bad. Okay. He just reloads it, like, boom! I'm like, what the hell? I love game that is that dynamic. Whereas it's just... go over, it just go out of its way. It reloads your game when it wants to. It crashes your game when you want to. It loads just somewhere different. I'm like, that would have me sitting there actually cussing the game out. Literally.
I love in the Flowey boss battle that Photoshop. This entire game, you're so used to seeing like the 8-bit art style, and it's all basically the same. It's not 8-bit, but it's like, you know, the retro. 64-bit. Whatever it might be.
Whatever it is. RPG from the NES.
Yeah, like it has the same style throughout, and then you get to this boss battle, and they do the same thing they did with the entire game. They flip it on its head, and they're like, hey, we can do this, so we're going to do it, and we're going to surprise you in this way.
And you're going to cry.
Yeah. And since we are talking about that battle, can we talk about the music? Like, the music in this game is really, really good.
I don't think this game deserves Game of the Year. However, if we were to do Soundtrack of the Year, this game would win, like, twice fold. And this game technically only has, I think, about, like, 12 original scores. A lot of the music, especially, like, background music, is just sections of the music redone, like, slowed down, different instruments, stuff like that. For instance, my favorite song, which is Undyne's theme in the Pacifist Run or Normal Run, is that's my favorite song. But a slowed down version of it is used in the waterfall. The background is part of it is a slowed down version, which is also really good. If you speed it back up to how it would sound when you're battling Undyne, you know, match it, that part sounds really good too. It's so good, and I think he is a composer as well. Like, he composed, you know, the Sans's theme, Megalovania. He obviously does music, and I think for that, he rightfully should win the reward, because that is, or this hypothetical reward, because it's great.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite theme, Ezzy, or Anbu?
I love, I think it's called Death by Glamour. Metaton battle thing.
Yes, that song good is so good.
Stuff. Oh my gosh, I love the very last part where you have the game show music. It just fits well.
That's my favorite part too. Sorry.
Do, 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 do. I like the game show.
Wait, what?
I like the game show one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that one, and a lot of the themes at the end, they're just so like epic, and like the, including I keep saying this Photoshop Flowey battle. But even the music in that, it's just so like,
I don't like that one.
And then it.
But the thing is, you really don't get to hear much of it before it's interrupted. So I don't like it that much.
But I love the interruptions because it's like, every time it interrupts, it's during the part where the other souls show up. And each time they get more like, I guess, hopeful.
Strange. Oh.
Every single time. And then once you finally combine all the souls and like really start to attack him, that like the really epic song comes in where it's like I call it the determination song, because it's totally like, you know, you can win this, you know, you can do this. Mm-hmm. And sounds awesome.
I think that's a really good audio in terms of game, but I was thinking just as a song. Like, Undyne's theme is great, but so is Death by Glamour. I forgot what I think it's called, something about a true hero. But Undyne's theme is very good. Metaton's theme is very good. Spider Dance is really popular. Yeah. I'm okay with that song. I've heard better. Like one of the best songs other than that is the Mad Dummy theme, which is just it's just a slowed down version of Muffet's theme, and I love that song. It's especially from within the game. I think that song is kind of weird because it's in this weird, distorted, deep tone, in which most of these other songs are in some way, shape, or form a varied version of chiptune. This song doesn't necessarily sound like that. Mad Dummy theme. Sorry.
Even the normal boss or any random enemy battle theme, that's good too. Everything's.
Oh, that one's okay.
Yeah.
So overall thoughts and ratings of the game.
Again, not Game of the Year. I'm sorry. Just because the game is very self-aware does not make it. Like, sure, that's great, and it should go down in history. It's just, it's not something that I'm like, oh, I wasn't even motivated to play over again. And I did the True Pacifist Run because I honestly, and I still do, the True Pacifist Run is the true ending. So I was like, okay, it's great, it's fun, I like it, but I would never say it's my favorite. I think Splatoon or Super, and mostly Splatoon, because I love that game, would be my game of the year. But it's not a bad game by any sort of means. In fact, it's probably one of the best games around. It's just, personally to me, I would say Splatoon.
Yeah, I think the reason you start out like that is because it's like so extremely popular and people are just in love with this game.
If you guys don't know me, I'm very, as soon as something gets talked about, I'm instantly turned off by it. And that's not like, it's just, I get tired of things. And Undertale was, the main reason why I hadn't played it was because everyone was talking about it. But once my brother was like, you need to play it, I was like, fine. And I understand why people were talking about it.
Yeah, and with that said, I think it's a fantastic game. It's a short game. I think for a good reason, because you want to, the goal, I think the creator at least would think, is that you would play it a few more times. So it's short, but it's still good. It's still very, very good with the short amount of time that it is.
You know me about retro. You know me and retro games. We get along. I don't think it should be game of the year, but I don't think it had that much competition. And what I mean by that is that the other games out there, that we have Splatoon as one game, and some other games for like, I forgot the one for the PS4 and such.
But what was that game that was like kickstarted forever ago and took like 4 years, and everyone was super hype about it, and it looks like a whole bunch of RC cars. I don't know.
Rocket League?
Yes, that game. That was the game.
So it shouldn't be game of the year, but it's high up there. It definitely has a little bit of competition, but with these games that come out, it's like they always lackluster. No offense.
I don't think this game was trying to compete.
Me neither.
No, absolutely not.
It just sprung up and took over, basically.
I don't think it was there to kind of like slay heads off of bodies and such.
My Yikes. One thing is, I wish this game wasn't talked about so much, because as we mentioned before, I wish, like, I don't want people talking about it, because I think it's so much better when you don't know what the game is.
But yeah. If people didn't talk about it, like, afterwards,
I know. No, of course.
I would be lost.
It's a double-edged sword. It's almost like, if people hadn't talked about it, nobody would know, you wouldn't really have much understanding of it, or people, you might not have even heard of it, because, you know, nobody would be talking about it. But I just, it's like, oh, come on, like, I wish I hadn't even known who the character Undyne was, or the importance of why Sans is important, you know, or why Sans is important, because I knew
that. Yeah, thankfully I didn't
know why. I knew he was. And yeah, it's almost like, I hate duality, I hate the idea of things that, you know, is like opposite reactions or whatever. This is a prime example of, I wish people wouldn't talk about this because it's annoying and like, shut up. But if people hadn't talked about it, I wouldn't have played the game, and so had thousands of other people.
And do we have anything else to say about Undertale?
Play it.
Yeah,
play it, please.
Woo! I'm in Chisa.
And that will be the end of the Undertale. My main topic is over. So, you heard about our opinions and such about the game and the uniqueness of it. You have to play it in order to get the full experience. Play the game, yes indeed.
Yeet.
And now we go to the news and community, which we only have one article to talk about.
We have something else we should discuss as well, especially because we brought it up. But let's talk about the article you had.
Okay. Bayonetta and Korin, they out with Smash, 3DS, and DLC. Wii U.
Korin. I like Korin. Yes. I'm playing as him right now, actually.
I found him cheap.
Really? I found Bayonetta almost a little cheap. I like her better.
They nerfed characters, and both, and these ones are like, I know they came out, but they are so strong compared to the people they nerfed. They nerfed Lucas.
Yeah.
Which made no sense, none at all, because every time he does that up smash, it takes forever for him to respond. I'm like, you just gotta dodge it. It's not strong. You just have to dodge it.
Yeah.
Like, the moment you dodge it, you could charge up your smash and then hit him.
Absolutely. But with Korin, I mean, maybe I just haven't run into any good Korin players, because I'm like, oh, really? I did get beat by one. I'm not saying he's bad, or she or he. But yeah. Bayonetta, I love. I really hope they bring back Bayonetta, because she is so fun to play with. She has so many different opportunities you can play with, or you, so many different ways you can play with her. Her combo game is, of course, out of this world. She's fun to play with. Again, I like her look. I love her heels. I love the bullets. Those are, my favorite thing about her are those guns, because those things just make... They, in a way that... Well, you're not going to see it. But as he knows, her up air, if you hold it, because you can hold literally every single one of her attacks and she'll shoot bullets after it. Her up air has this like crescent kick, but it's upwards. If you hold it, she just spins around like a wheel, and it makes me laugh so much, like more than it should, because she literally just looks like a wheel. And it, I was like, did they intend for her to look like that? Because it is the funniest thing I've seen. She also does a death drop, for one of you, those who know, that's a dance thing. She does a death drop as her down air, also hilarious, and it's really strong if you get hit by the heel. Like, it's one of her, if you have high enough damage, it's a kill move. Like, it's good. I love that move, and I love Bayonetta. And she might be one of my favorite Smash Brothers characters. Like, that's too soon to call, because I said the same thing about Lucas, but, I mean, she's so fun to play with.
Yeah, I love using her heel stomp on certain, on people.
Is that me?
Overall, no.
Is that not me?
Not you.
It's not you, so okay, it's me.
Yeah. Me and Boo played yesterday.
It's me.
Rip.
Granted, he beat me basically every time. I did get some heals.
Stop.
Stop.
I didn't even ask.
Should we bring?
No.
You can say whatever.
Should we bring him? Should we bring him here?
Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and say it.
I beat SZ in under a minute with Donkey Kong.
Oh, yeah, you told me this.
Oh, you already told him? Wow.
Yeah.
Because you threw shade!
Yeah. Oh, true.
He told me this right before you came in.
To be fair, I was playing as Bayonetta, which I'm still getting used to. Okay.
Boo.
It's like Bayonetta had nothing against Donkey.
She's so light, though. She can get killed, like, I've gotten killed by Bowser at, like, 60%, and by Ganondorf at 30%. But that was because he got a fully charged.
And then, SZ, when I was there with Samus and I did the flip in the air to try to, meteor strike SZ, he was quiet and he countered it! And I had only 62% since we were so high on the border, it just knocked me straight out. I was like, really?!
His counter is—it's long and it's
deadly.
That thing is so powerful. I will agree on you with that. But
I tap him. I do a standard attack, and it launched me in the air, and I died. I mean, I was 0-2 damage, and I just did what she just lightly do the 3-punch combo.
Yeah.
I did that, and as he countered, and it flew me in the air. I'm like, really?
Though,
keep your distance.
I think the counter to the counter is he has a lot of, like, as long as it's a long window, but of opportunity to get countered. But he also is, you know, there's a lot of time for you to strike back as well.
Screwing me over.
One thing I will say about Bayonetta, though, is that right now I do feel like she has the snake effect for me, where I feel like she doesn't really fit that well.
Boo. I can agree with you on that, but boo to you, sir.
I love her character, and I love her moves, and I love playing as her, but her in the game doesn't really sit that well with me.
At least not
with all the other characters.
I totally agree with you, but I still, like, I would be so upset if she was taken out. Now I kind of feel...
I do. I would be upset as well, but it's hard. Because she's, like, I think one of the only ones that actually looks like a human. Even the Fire Emblem characters still have a little bit of a cartoony look to them.
She looks exactly like a human, yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree. I just don't... Yeah, because the Fire Emblem people, their heads are not normal shapes.
They also don't wear shoes.
Yeah, but that's a different thing. That's what I'm about. Their heads are very angular. Their hair is Japan. Everything about Bayonetta in terms of physical traits is realistic. Like, even those heels, which make no sense. In fact, they shoot without her, like, she has bullet heels, or she has gun heels, literally. They shoot without, you know, her grabbing the trigger. But I like them, I like that. I think it's funny. But, in terms of body, she looks pretty much like a normal human. So I would agree with you on that. But I just, if because of what they did, like this, I'm upset they didn't bring in Shovel Knight. But I was talking to my little brother about this. I was debating, like, if I knew Bayonetta's moveset and I knew Shovel Knight's, whatever it would be, I might have chosen, like, if I could play as him, I might have chosen Bayonetta. Because Bayonetta is so fun.
No, yeah. Lots and lots of fun. Actually, I have two more pieces of news.
You may go ahead.
I do as well, but you might be covering one of them.
Go ahead and do yours, then.
Mother 3 got quote-unquote leaked, because we were talking about it. The only reason why I was going to bring it up is because we mentioned it a couple times. Emily Rogers, we talked about this, me and Staryu did. We talked about how Paper Mario Wii U got supposedly leaked. You know, like, they had information. Similar information has been risen, with Mother 3 is supposedly getting an American release on the Virtual Console. That's it, sorry.
When?
There's no date. There's no date.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Boo, as if you were going to pay money for it, please.
And see, don't tell the children this. I was going to pay $0. That's money.
Oh.
And let's not say absence of money.
It's time. It's time. Playing that all day.
This doesn't really mean much for me, because I tried Earthbound and don't see myself getting into the series.
But I think it's news to discuss, because I know a lot of people care about it. It's the Earthbound case part 2. Like, everyone's like, bring Earthbound back to the States. Bring Mother 3 to the States the first time. So I think if it's true, which I've been burned before by stuff like this, but if it is true, I would love for it to be so. Was that one of your news stories?
It was not, actually. Mine are actually really quick. And one's Community. Actually, I have three then. the Super Mario Maker, Professor Egad, is a costume now.
Boo.
It's so cool, because he hasn't been playable in anything before.
He's old and decrepit.
Stop using that word. I
love when Boo says decrepit.
No, it makes me think of the ancient Egyptians and like the mummies, and, like this dust and not even there's no bone, there's just dust left in there.
I think of an old house when I hear the word decrepit.
The creaks and it's falling apart.
Yeah, like a haunted house.
You know he calls people decrepit. Yeah, that's why it's so bad.
Old decrepit.
But he just called Egad decrepit. So yeah.
Yeah, so he's falling apart, he creaks, oh my gosh, he's dying. Well, anyway, he was released on Thursday, so 21st costume, whoop whoop. Other two community things, for MPL, Mario Party Legacy, we're doing the month of Winter Worlds now, so we're going to have articles and things based on any kind of ice location or snowy locale, so go ahead on our site and check that out. We got stuff going, including a Survivor, which is basically voting out all of the ice worlds in the Mario games, basically. So everyone votes and we kick one out and we see which one's our favorite. And Sticker Star's Ice World, World 4, got out second.
Really? I thought that was one of the better chapters.
Exactly. People just hate on that game so much that it got out so quickly.
I believe that it shouldn't got out as quick as it did.
That would be so sad. Like, there are so many mediocre ice worlds in the Mario universe. That one was not one of them.
Oh, you really made a post about it, too.
Yes, I did, because I was like, oh, no. Like, there are awesome things in that, like the Enigma.
It's Cool Mountain on there.
Who?
Cool Mountain.
What is that?
Cool Mountain from Mario 64.
Yes. Oh, yes, it is. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That one should have got out.
Really? I'm not that big a hater on it.
It's Freeze Fling Galaxy, or that doesn't count.
It's on there.
One should have got out.
Yeah, I agree.
One is redundant. You don't even spend time on the ice part that much. It's only the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
Wait. Which one?
Freeze Flame Galaxy.
Galaxy
1.
No, I like that. I thought you were talking about the one with the bunnies. That one I don't really
Freezy
care for.
Freezy Flake? I like that one.
I like Freezy... The one where there's the mountain you climb? I love the purple coin challenge. Like, that reminds me of Super Mario 64.
The lava and ice one from Super Mario Galaxy 2 was Shiver Burn.
Yeah, that one was okay.
I didn't like that one at all.
Yeah. And last thing for community. This doesn't really matter anymore, but we're doing community night tonight. So we're going to play as Bayonetta and Corrin, and it's going to be so much fun.
Hooray.
Yeah. But that's it for news and community.
Every death drops for me.
And should we do what have you been doing?
If you want to.
Really quickly.
Yeah. Okay. Me, mother, college, internship, work, and mother three. Well, I've been doing this mother three. Trust me, I played a lot.
For me, I've been doing some stuff with theater because I'm back in theater. I got partnered with a senior. That's cool. I know that doesn't really matter, but I like talking about theater because I think my theater class is really cool. And I have to go do some stuff for that class actually anyway. After this, I'm hanging out with a friend of mine who got a puppy, and I've never held a puppy before, so I might not let go of it because I do enjoy dogs an unhealthy amount, and I don't have one, and that probably is not helping because my like eagerness to get a dog is overflowing. I love dogs so much. I just want to keep one for myself. Other than that, my last thing was, I have been... Oh, no, wait, no, I didn't get to play it this week. Never mind. I already talked about that on the... Or, I think I talked about it, but whatever. I was playing, Super Mario 64 again. No, I didn't talk about that. Sorry.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Playing Super Mario 64. Yeah, the DS version, because I don't have the N64 anymore.
On Wii U? Yeah,
The DS version.
Super like, the DS version on Wii U? I think it's released. I'm not sure. Never mind.
Whatever. Sorry. I'm playing it on my normal 3DS. It's fun. Much more fun than I remembered it. I'm on Tall Tall Heights, I think it's called. Tall Tall Mountain.
Mountain.
Yeah, that one. I've been playing that one. I like that one. Really weird format. I feel like it's almost bigger than it should be because there's some parts that I don't think you even go to at all. It just feels kind of empty. But I like that. I still like it. It also has really good music, so...
The bottom portion with the cannon.
Yeah.
You only need it for one star.
Okay. Oh, the star and the flower? Ugh. Not flower, the mushroom.
That one was stupid, because I always fly over it.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to go back and run over back to the cannon, try it again. Oh,
well, that's all.
And as for me... Nothing. I played more Smash and things like this. I started... Okay, so we play online through Dolphin, a lot of GameCube games. Lots of fun.
Yes.
We play Mario Party a lot. And recently, somebody got a hold of some action replay codes that allow you to turn off Bowser time on Mario Party 7. And that makes that game...
What?!
100% more playable.
Wow!
You just put in the code and Bowser time is never activated. It's so much better. It's so much better to play this way.
And I will play Neon Heist to Infinity because I hate when you're in first place and Bowser takes a star. I hate that.
That's what makes Windmillville playable because now you don't have to worry that, oh, if I invest in this windmill, you know, later down the line...
He'll break it down!
Break it.
And he doesn't even take coins away. He breaks the whole thing!
Exactly! Oh my gosh. That's why it's such a relief to play. So me and Staryu are actually playing. We're doing teams, which I forgot that in this game, when you do duo teams, even with just four players,
you move together.
Have to move together, yeah. So that's kind of disappointing. But we're playing together... we're doing pretty well. Not worrying about Bowser time.
For the mushroom, if you roll the same number, you get 50 coins. And for the golden mushroom, you get, super mushroom, you get 300. Trust me.
Really? Wow.
You get 300 coins. My mom did it.
For triple?
Yep.
Oh, because you have to get 6 in a row.
Yeah, she did it with her partner. I was looking like, what? 300 coins as if she needed because she had 632. I'm like, you serious? Computers have zero because she. Every single space is her space on Pagoda Peak. Every single space is her space besides the event. Stop I'm like, falling. As if she need coins. It's not like you.
Exactly.
In every single space. Give you chemics everywhere.
Yeah, so that's what I've been doing, at least recently.
That's cool, Ezzy, that you managed to eliminate Bowser time from existence.
Oh, it's a beautiful thing.
Holy. And now, in the information. Subscribe Lost Level Podcast on iTunes. And you can leave us a rating review. Yes, you can. Get to it. Now, past episodes of this podcast, and like even to the first one, 10th, 120, etc., it can be found at the Lost Levels, MarioPartyLegacy.com. That's our site, yes. And our news and community of Mario and things of that nature, MarioPartyLegacy.com. Follow us. We have a new Facebook. We have upgraded Twitter. We have upgraded everything. So you can find us on these social medias. And yes, we are on Tumblr as well. Thank you very much. You can find us. Come find us. Come get us. Come sit at the Chamber of Council and have a cup of tea. Twitter, the Lost Levels. Twitter is Lost Levels NPL. Yes, we up the ante on it. Tumblr, the Lost Levels Podcast.tumblr.com. We have YouTube, youtube.com/user/TheLostLevelsNPL. We have Facebook. I think Facebook is the Lost Levels. Facebook.com/TheLostLevels.
Yes.
Ooh, so much. And now, with my little tidbit, Dark Blue on YouTube, Nintendo Network, Dark Blue 007, Twitter, Dark Blue 007.
Super Zamzy on Twitter, Nintendo Network, and YouTube.
As for me, you know, it's hardly... No, stop it. You don't have the music. It's Hardly Milk on Tumblr and Compete on Nintendo Network.
You are very lucky we don't have the music today. Very lucky. And with that, we're done because I have to head to the bathroom.
And I want to go to see the puppy.
So with that, bye-bye.
Bye, everyone. Have fun. Play Undertale. Listen to its soundtrack.
Yes.